Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, ever since man chiseled on stone for the first time to write words for everyone else to read and writers were born, only a few people have ever in the history of the planet written better words than the great Mike Sielski from Philly.com, one of the single greatest humans to ever human in the sports industry in journalism. Mike Sielski, how are you?
You know, Mark, I think you did it. I think
yes!
You actually surpassed Angelo for praise in an introduction. I think you accomplished it.
Wow. I was asking Mike to come on yesterday, and I said, what's the stat you roll out there usually?
Praise per intro, yeah.
Praise
PPI.
Per intro, yeah.
And I said, analytically, I'm going to get this. I'm going to top Angelo when it comes to the praise. And he goes, impossible. Challenge accepted. Hold my beer.
You had to go full stone tablet to do it, though, man. You never go full stone tablet.
Which is crazy because that's what Angelo will write his story on, which is insane
right.
to me.
True.
Mike, I got to tell you, man, I'm reading your story on Philly.com yesterday, and everybody with the Sixers, and I'm included, we have these rose-colored glasses, these Disney glasses on, where we're thinking about this whole scenario playing out perfectly, where Embiid wants to stay here forever, and Ben Simmons is the player we hope he can be, and he wants to stay here forever. And you look at these other players like Fultz now and Dario Saric, and we went through these three-plus years of dreck, and in a way have already become attached to players that aren't even associated with winning yet. But your story, I mean, it's not mean, it's not cold-hearted or anything like that. It's just real. And the terms I was using to describe it was it's loaded with truth bombs. And the scenario that you roll out with Joel Embiid, it's a very real scenario that could play out. I mean, tell me a little bit more about the 4 or 5 year deal, $150 million. It's not like the Sixers are going to be throwing those all over the place.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you start with a couple premises, number one, that, you know, Joel Embiid, the night of the draft lottery, basically put it out there that he believed the Sixers were coming after the Cavaliers, that at the time that LeBron and the Cavs would be getting old, the Sixers would be hitting their prime and kind of ready to replace them at the top of the Eastern Conference. And everybody went, ooh and ah, and that sounds great if you're a Sixers fan. But then there's the reality of having to pay to keep a team like that together. And what do we see more and more of in the NBA nowadays? We see super teams. And how do you maintain those super teams? You have at least one superstar take less money than he probably could otherwise get. Look at Golden State. You know, Kevin Durant just within the last 2 weeks agreed to a contract, $9.5 million less than what he could have got so that the Warriors could keep Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston. Now, that team obviously is already the best in the league and has won two championships and should have won a third, but the principle still applies to the Sixers. And the first guy up and the most important guy, I'd argue, in the whole kind of domino sequence is Embiid. He becomes if he doesn't sign now, he becomes a restricted free agent at the end of the season, and the question becomes, is he going to want as much money as he can possibly get, which would be understandable given his injury history, or is he going to kind of follow through on what he said, which is, we want to win here, and we want to win for a long time, and to do that, he may have to take less money.
Again, 5 years, $150 million, which he could be due this summer?
Yeah, he could get that this summer if they want. Now, Tom Moore from Calkins Media has a story saying, quoting a source saying that the Sixers and Embiid are not talking about a contract negotiation, or having no negotiations right now, which, you know, may or may not be true, but, you know, and I understand that from the Sixers standpoint. I'm sure, you know, if they don't feel this completely within their organization, there are feelings within the organization that, you know, hey, Joel Embiid's played 31 games in 3 years. Are we just going to hand him a max contract given his injury history? But from Embiid's side of things, you've got to look at it and say, do I want as much as I can possibly get given my injury history? Or am I so confident that I'm going to be healthy and we're going to be great that I'm going to take less money so that we can keep Simmons, keep Fultz, keep Saric, and continue to add and build to our core?
when I think about that, Mike, down the line, I'm thinking about Joel Embiid having a story similar to that of Kevin Durant, who has won already, and that's when he took less money. And Rhea pointed out earlier in the show, Kevin Durant made a nice chunk of change early on in his career, too. But with Embiid, if I am looking at this, like a lot of Sixers fans, most Sixers fans with those rose-colored glasses, I am looking at this as, yeah, he'll take less money, and the first tweet will be, yeah, I took less money, trust the process. But as you point out, that's going to be a pretty expensive tweet if that's what we're going to see in the future.
Yeah, I mean, look, he could get 5 years and $150 million this year. That's the max that he could get. And as I said, he could. I would understand if he wanted that, if he sought that. But what's interesting is if you look at ahead of free agency, if you look at the top salaries, individual salaries for the 2017-2018 season, before Durant hit free agency and these guys started signing these crazy contracts this offseason, of the top, like, 30 highest-paid players for next season in the NBA, I believe two of them had won championships. One of them was LeBron James, and the other one was Dwayne Wade, who isn't exactly regarded as a centerpiece player anymore. Mm-hmm. The point is, this is a major factor that a team and players, if they want to win championships, have to take into consideration in the NBA. You only have so much money to spend, and if you are able to spread that money out throughout your roster, it probably gives you a better chance of challenging for a championship. I mean, Carmelo Anthony is one of the 10 highest paid players in the league, and he ain't never come that close to winning a title.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I've never been big on Melo, believe it or not. But Mike Sielski, we're speaking to from Philly.com, Philadelphia Daily News as well. And, Mike, some of the other things you point out in the column are just guys leaving the East, going to the West. The East becomes easier. A team that was a powerhouse, well, at least last year in the East, in the Celtics, they only get better with a guy like Hayward. So, really, you have that ground now for the Sixers to start making a push for the playoffs, and a lot of people, most people, as a matter of fact, are expecting them to make it to the playoffs. Are you in that boat, that this is a team that can really make a push for something better than the eighth seed?
I think if their health is good, I see them as a, you know, 40 to 45 win team in that conference. You know, I really do. I mean, your point is well taken about the East kind of being the JV compared to the West now.
Oh, those are your words, man. Great comparison, JV East.
you know, and look, the Cavaliers are still going to be formidable as long as LeBron's there. Boston clearly got better. Milwaukee is a team on the rise. But the rest of the conference, you look around and you go, okay, well,
the
you
Knicks
know,
just
saw,
gave Tim Hardaway Jr. $71
million. Amazing. $71 million, right, exactly. You know, hey, Nick's going to Nick, Rhea, you know. But, you know, you look around the conference and you say to yourself, okay, you saw the team they were last year when Embiid was healthy and on the floor. And now, presumably, you're better with Simmons. You're better a little bit with Fultz. You're better with Redick. You're better with Amir Johnson. Saric has another year of experience. Everybody else on the roster who's coming back has another year of experience. I don't want to make it sound like they should be a 50-win team. I don't want to make it sound more than it is. But given the state of the conference and given what we've seen from Embiid and hoping everything, you know, goes well in terms of the injury situation, I don't think it's far-fetched for them to be around a 500 team or even a little bit better.
I don't think that's far-fetched at all.
Crazy if they weren't 500. I'm like, are you kidding me? I hate to sound like the Phillies, but that's the bottom line for me, 500. With the people they have here, and Redick comes here, and Embiid healthy, I mean, my Lord, 500 would be the floor.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's truth to that, Al. I mean, I don't want to, you know, sound like, oh, it should be a 50-win team, because we haven't seen Simmons play. We haven't really seen Fultz play yet, obviously, in a real NBA game. I think we also forget last year, if you remember Simmons in the summer league, from what we saw of him, the kid seemed to have the yips a little bit about taking a shot beyond 5 feet.
Well, now he's got a guy to send it to when he gets those yips.
That's true. So, you know, you want to temper expectations. But look, I mean, the East is weak. It just is. And I don't think there's a reason to take a step back and say, oh, well, if they finish with the ninth seed or only win 36 games, then that's a step forward. No, I think, you know, the computer simulation models, you know, the betting experts in Vegas are all suggesting that this should be at least a 500 team. I don't think it's wrong to go in with that expectation.
Mike, I want to just shift your focus a little bit to the Eagles and the recent past. Do you remember defensive line coach Jim Washburn?
You know, it's funny, Rhea. I wasn't around here.
Oh, that you were at the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, I was working in New York at the time Washburn was here, but I've been around since to know that he was not particularly well-regarded amongst players and coaches and media and everybody. It seemed like Jason Babin was the only guy who liked him, and nobody liked Jason Babin. So
well, he actually spoke about that yesterday at a Nashville radio station, and he said he was the Antichrist in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Said the press didn't like him, one writer in particular, and I'm trying to find out so we can rule you out because you were with the Wall Street Journal at the time.
Yeah, I've never met Jim Washburn. I have talked with like a lot of guys, you know, people who cover the Eagles. I've talked at length about him with Brandon Graham, who they did not have a particularly good relationship, you know. And, you know, this is just secondhand based on what I've gotten from guys who played for him. Washburn always struck me as the kind of coach who was not going to take what he had and work with it in terms of exploiting its strengths. He was going to do what he did, and you either fit it or you didn't. And if you fit it, he loved you, which is why he loved Babin, because all he wanted guys to do was go after the quarterback, and he didn't care about much else.
The best, and you're right, the best part of it, there are a couple things that he also said. He said Andy Reid told him he hated Jason Babin, which elevated Andy Reid in my eyes. And that
I guess Andy Reid wasn't at Jason Babin's wedding and at cutting.
Well, there you go. Oh, wow. Burn.
Well played, Sielski.
Does that elevate Andy in our eyes or
a little bit.
Lower him, I don't know.
All right, so we've now ruled out Kevin Cooney and Mike Sielski as the one writer in particular, although Jim should probably know it probably wasn't one writer in particular.
I'd be willing to bet on that, yeah.
Mike Sielski, Philly.com. Great follow on Twitter as well. Definitely worth clicking follow on Mike Sielski's account.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.